RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Key Studios. Halfway home on this Friday evening with you. All right, 404-726-0929. Asking you the question, we're opening up the phone lines here. How confident are you that Ebba Cady can get it done? So, listen, I've talked a lot about this because I do think that he is that key piece as far as getting our defense to be where we want it to be. And you guys know how I feel about sacks, right? I mean, I've made no bones about it. And I've given you every stat and every number and every metric and everything like that to show you the importance of sacks in today's NFL. Maybe they weren't as important in 1984. Maybe they weren't as important in 1971. But in today's NFL, you have to be able to sack the quarterback. And everything trends towards sacking the quarterback defensively. I don't care about your run defense. I don't care about your pass defense. Everything trends towards sacking the quarterback. Why? Because guys are throwing it 700 times in a season nowadays. It's not even so much that, you know, you're seeing all the yardage and touchdown marks, but you're seeing the attempts numbers. You know, teams are going with the, you know, higher and higher amounts of attempts of throws per game. And so having a guy coming off the edge, a fire breather off the edge, if you will, you've got to have guys like that. And we talked to D-Led about this not too long ago, where he had talked about the idea of he's looking at Arnold Ebba Cady and talked about having a target on his back, right? Because he's a second-round pick. And our second-round picks, historically, over the last, I don't know, couple of decades, they've been some hits. They've been some real swings and misses. They've been some guys who have done some good things for us. They've been some guys that have done zilch for us. And so we've got to get something out of him. And when you're a high-caliber draft pick like that, you have to contribute at some point. Because, by the way, you know, if we don't have those kinds of guys, we're not going to get to where we need to be. You're not going to rely on a committee of people to, you know, 7-8 people to get you 5-6 sacks. That's not going to happen in the NFL. It's not going to be like that. You need a couple of guys who get you double-digit sacks. The real teams that get after the quarterback, they have one or two of those guys that get it. They have Joey Bosa and Eric Armstead. They have Javon Hargrave and, my brain just went dead. Who's the other kid, the other defensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles? My brain just went dead. But they have multiples of those guys. In the old days, it was Clowney and Watt coming off the edge for the, you know, Texans, right? Here recently, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Having two of those kinds of guys coming off the edge. You have to have that in today's NFL if you're going to influence the game. And so I think Ebba Cady can do it. Now, do I think he's a 12-15 sack kind of guy? No. But I think if you tell me that he could be a double-digit sack guy, I could buy that. I could buy 9, 10, maybe 11 sacks. Probably not that 12, 15, 16 kind of number, but 8 to 10 sacks, I think, is where he could live in that range. And frankly, if we had a guy that put up 3 years in a row of 8 to 10 sacks, I'd have parades down Peachtree Street. Give me one of those kinds of guys. So 404-726-0929. How confident are you that Arnold Ebiketie can get it done coming off the edge? Let's go to Kareem out in East Atlanta. What's going on, Kareem?
Hey, Chuckery, how you doing, my brother?
Good, man. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, everything's everything. I love the topic you got going on, man. Here's where I am with AK-47. I got a 50-50 shot on him. And here's why, Chuckery. I want to see who's developing him from the defensive end standpoint. I know that Coach Nielsen, he's an interior line guy, mm-hmm. right? But who's helping him develop from the outside pass rusher? But where I have confidence is my brothers that are from West Africa, they originally are soccer players. Therefore, they have good feet work. So I know his footwork is there, right? It's just
right.
developing him to know how to get skinny, get the move that it's going to take to get around that tackle, or, you know what I mean, is his strength there to bulldoze? And is he going to be able to develop the other fundamentals it's going to take to become that bona fide edge rusher?
Well,
right? I just think
– Kareem, let me say this. So you asked where's the guy that's developing him. That guy's up in Baltimore coaching their defensive ends. You know who that is?
Big Chuck Smith.
Yeah.
We should have been at him on staff.
Yeah. Yeah, he's up in the guy that should be coaching these guys. He's up in Baltimore. He's not with our organization, even though he played for, you know, a decade plus with our organization. He's not with us.
Exactly, man. I not even get off topic. That's just like almost like Kirby, who's doing a great job over at Athens, not giving Hines Ward a job. Hines want to be on the staff.
Yeah.
But I digress. Yes, Big Chuck Smith needs to be on the staff, and he needs to be developing our pass rushers, AK-47 and D'Angelo. What's the boy named? D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Malone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Malone, yeah. So
yep. Appreciate
that's where I'm at with it, Chucker.
No problem. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah. I think that part of why we don't have those guys is the fact that we haven't developed our players. Say what you will about Dan Quinn, okay? I think Dan Quinn's a good defensive coach. I don't think Dan Quinn's a great defensive coach. I think if you give him the Legion of Boom or Micah Parsons, he looks like a hell of a defensive coach, right? He looks like a hell of a defensive coordinator if you have those kinds of guys, for God's sakes, running around. I mean, I could coach those. I could coach Micah Parsons. Hey, Micah, you see that guy standing under center? Go eat his head. Go take a bite out of his neck and chew it. I could coach those kinds of guys. You know, and by the way, Gus Bradley had that defense before Dan Quinn did, you know. And Gus Bradley was all the rage, right, until he got a head coaching gig. And then Gus Bradley was like, is this the guy we really want? Is this the guy that we really want, you know, coaching the team? But be that as it may, you know, I don't think that we've had – look, I love Jerry Gray because I know Jerry Gray is not just a good defensive, you know, former defense coordinator and all that, but Jerry Gray has worked with top-flight talent at the cornerback position. You know, he's worked with guys that are high-caliber impact types of players at the cornerbacks and safeties. I need a Jerry Gray for our defensive line, guys. I need a Jerry Gray for our defensive edge. Now, I do really like what Ryan Nielsen brings, and his MO is, I know it's a lot of interior, but, you know, the Cam Jordans and even Caden Ellis and guys like that, they thrived under Ryan Nielsen and the tutelage that he gave him. I'm hoping the same thing happens here in Atlanta. I certainly think that Grady and Calais and Taquan Graham, I think those guys will all benefit greatly. Now let's see if we can get that edge type of player to come off and get after the quarterback. And if nothing else, to at least solidify one side of that defensive line, right? To at least, if nothing else, give us a starting point, even if some guys have to be rotational players. Calais Campbell, Lorenzo Carter, whatever that rotation of guys is. You know, the Caden Ellis's of the world. I mean, whoever at that point. You know, we'll see. I mean, D-Led thinks that Bud Dupree could be a guy that gets cut. I don't know. I mean, would they bring him in that quickly and then, you know, go out and cut him? I don't know. I don't know if they'd cut. I mean, look, if he doesn't fit and he's not part of the rotation, then yeah. But we've got to find somebody at some point. We have to, you know, if we're not going to invest the kind of capital that we need to, then we've got to develop somebody. Somebody's got to develop and get a lot better in all of this. And I'm hoping that Ebikadie has that real step-up season. If I know Desmond Ridder is going to be a good quarterback. He may not be great. He may not be MVP level and things like that. I don't need him to be that. But what I do need is Ebikadie to take that big step forward, to take that big leap forward. Take that as a second-round pick. Take that big leap and go get after the quarterback. And hopefully, you know, again, that happens this year. And certainly, I didn't think that the Falcons did him. I don't want to say like, I don't think the Falcons did him a lot of favors, because starting him only one game last year, when I think he showed signs that he was our better option on the outside, I've got my questions about that. But, you know, they don't tend to start their rookies on defense all that drastically. They don't tend to start guys on the defensive side of the football. They don't give the, you know, Richie Grants and Arnold Ebikadie's tons and tons and tons of work out there. Even though that's probably what they need to get better, they slow work those guys in. Maybe Ryan Nielsen will have a different philosophy about this. Maybe he comes at it from a different approach. Because we know the results that he had. We know, again, Caden Ellis had a really good year last year. David Onyemata is a really good player. Cam Jordan is an elite defensive end, right? Like, we need to draft one of those guys. The league is full of those guys. It's Bosa, and it's Watt, and it's Myles Garrett, and it's this guy, and that guy, and it's Khalil Mack, and the other Bosa brother, and this guy, and all. I mean, why don't we have one of those guys? Why don't we have some of those guys? Why aren't those guys on our team that go out there and just mash it all day, night, and, you know, put all kinds of pressure on quarterbacks and things like that? Why don't we have one of those kinds of guys, those fire breathers that come off the edge and get after? Chris Jones and guys like that. Like, you know, again, Eric Armstead, you know. I mean, why don't, you know, Buckner, right, you know, from Indianapolis now. He was with the 49ers, and now he's with the Indianapolis Colts. Like, we need some of those kinds of guys, some of those guys that get after it on defense. I don't mean safeties and corners and things like that. I mean guys who come off the line of scrimmage and get after it. So I'm confident that Ebikadie can get it done. I think he can be an 8 to 10 sack guy when all is said and done. We'll see what happens, though. This is a big year for Ebikadie. I'm not saying his career is over if he doesn't take that big step forward, but if we're going to get where we need to be, then he's got to be the guy on defense that steps it up for this team, and he gets after the quarterback consistently. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for That's Life, a end of an era, plus our top 10 as well. Chuck Renekia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com.
Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it on the John Chuckery Show, 921 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. The Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, at the D. Lewis for real, I am at JMCH316. Well, Day-Day, it's been the end of an era. As, you know, I don't know if you saw the pictures or not, but hundreds of people were gathering at CNN because, you know, CNN Center is closing down.
Yeah, right? I forgot about that, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably because during the regular season or towards the end of the regular season, I went to a Hawks game and, you know, you can cut through there.
Right.
So I think I kind of forgot that they had made that announcement. But, yeah. Yeah.
I guess more than 500 people were in attendance here, just kind of celebrating the end of the run for CNN. 35 years. And I guess they're going to new digs, right, over there at they have their own campus over there on Techwood, right?
Yeah, I wasn't 100% sure, but yeah, they do have that whole campus over there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I mean, they now is the hotel still staying there at the old Omni?
Yes,
the old Omni.
I would
hotel.
Assume it would.
And aren't there like? Is McCormick and Schmidt still there?
Yeah, all the restaurants. They got the food court. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I wonder what's going to happen.
And wasn't Dantana's that was still in there, was it?
I don't think Dantana's is in there. It used to be. I think they turned that into a different restaurant. The Taco Mac's not in there no more either,
right.
I don't believe. I don't know what they're going to do with all that space.
What was the restaurant that was in there before Dantana's what was the place owned by Craig Sager and Doc Rivers, that sports bar? They had one here on 10th and Peachtree, had one in Brookhaven.
Oh, the Jocks and Jills?
Jocks and Jills. Was there a Jocks and Jills in there at one time?
You know what? I feel like there was.
Yeah, I think in the mid-90s there was a Jocks and Jills.
Yeah, because there was a movie theater in there, too.
Yes, yes.
Used to be a movie theater in there.
Yes. So, didn't they have a gym in there as well?
I don't remember the gym, but there used to be a radio station in there.
Well, yeah, 680. So, the original 680 was in... WCNN was in that building, and you could watch them broadcast from the atrium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they would, their studios were in that atrium area, and it was all glass walls and things like that.
Yeah, and before that, it was, before it was the 680, before 680 used it, KISS used to be in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Because when I moved here in 93, that's where 680 was headquartered at, right?
Yeah.
So they were, that was Max and Morgan in Middays. That was Randy Cross and Randy Blake.
Yeah.
And Harmon Wages didn't last very long because, you know, hormone wages. But anyway. and then Bo and AJ. Bo Bach and AJ Cannon were in there. That was the original afternoon. At least when I moved here in 93, that was the afternoon show.
Gotcha. So. Yeah. Because I went to Morris Brown. I got here in 92. Uh-huh. So we'd walk to the movie theater that was in CNN because it was the closest one. And you know,
so what's going to happen to the building?
I'm actually Googling that right
okay.
now.
Okay, yeah, because I'm just curious. I mean, I don't really know what's going to happen with the CNN building. I would assume that they'll keep the hotel open. Is the Omni Hotel what it once was? Like, you know, the Omni Hotel at one time was almost like a touristy kind of place to stay because of CNN and everything like that. But I don't know that the Omni Hotel is...
Well, it might be because of the conventions and things that still take place in the
But you know,
World
the funny
Congress
thing is,
Center.
I mean, we talked about this. Atlanta's not nearly the convention city that it used to be. I mean, in the 80s and early 90s, like, Atlanta was the hot place to be for conventions in the United States. And the Georgia World Congress Center was built for all that because they were having so many conventions here. And to be honest with you, that was one of the things that kept the strip club business so prominent, was all the conventioneers that were coming from out of town. Any idea what the building is going to be?
No, all the articles I'm finding right now are the old ones from when the announcement was first made back in January.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, you know, again, it is one of the symbols of Atlanta, right? Like, you know, the CNN building is one of the symbols of Atlanta. It may not be for a lot of modern day people, but certainly for old school folks like us, it is. All right. So here we have another person, Day-Day. This is from, let's see, this was in, this is another tourist. And you can watch this video of another tourist who is going right up next to a live bison. So there's a live bison laying on the ground near like this creek, okay? And they're a visitor. This person's a visitor to Yellowstone National Park. And literally, this person is right on top of this bison and taking selfies with it.
Wow.
So it's a young woman taking an off-road selfie just inches from a live bison. Can I tell you, I wouldn't mind seeing that gore. I wouldn't mind seeing it gore her. Sorry, I don't really care if you get offended by that. But at some point, the stupid people have to be stopped, right? We have to stop these people. So, again, another person who just is sort of a dum-dum in all of this. All right, how about this story, Day-Day?
Okay.
Here's the headline. Sonic manager punched, body slammed, hospitalized over a wrong order. A Sonic manager, you know, the Sonic Burger place.
Yep.
Sonic manager in Oklahoma has been hospitalized after being attacked over a hot dog with jalapenos. Tulsa police said on May 27th, four people arrived at the fast food restaurant to order jalapeno poppers and a hot dog at the drive-thru. However, the group became upset after receiving a hot dog with jalapenos on it. One of the group members, Quintarius Simmons, started arguing with the employees, and that was when the manager stepped in, according to police. Police said Simmons tried to enter the part of the restaurant that is closed to the public, and the manager tried to stop him. Police said Simmons dragged the man outside, punched him repeatedly, and then body slammed him to the ground before repeatedly punching him again. They said that that was when Andres Bree Briscoe, who arrived with Simmons, joined the fight after still being upset at the order. Police said Briscoe threw punches but ended up hitting Simmons more than she hit the manager. So it was a guy and a girl.
People are losing, flipping their lids.
Over a jalapeno hot dog.
You know what? But I will say this, because, you know, I DoorDash for extra cash right in there, right? And I will say this. I think part of these stories that we hear is there's probably some serious attitude from some of these employees that makes things escalate. Put it that way. Because when I pick up some orders, I see some very, like, just unnecessary attitudes.
Right.
So I guarantee we're not hearing the other side of this. You know what I mean?
I agree to some point. I mean, look, when you're getting paid $10, $12
yeah,
an hour. I
maybe,
mean,
yeah.
You know, how much crap you're going to put up with?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there is a give and take. I mean, listen, this is not going to sound nice, but somebody needs to make the French fries.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, somebody needs to make the French fries. And I got no... My thing is, if you're working, I don't care if you're man, woman, whatever, if you're working and making a living, good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, do whatever. I mean, I don't care what somebody's job or profession is. Go out and make a living. Go out and earn some wages. Look, I work three jobs.
Right.
Right? Because I've got to pay for you know, some of the lifestyle that I have and things like that. Not necessarily by choice and things like that, but just, you know, to be able to afford all of the things that I get myself into, you know, whether, you know, whatever. So, I mean, you know, we everybody has to do what they have to
do. Yeah, 100%.
And so, again, I can understand some of these people that are, you know, putting up with a lot of, you know, nonsense from customers. Because, again, well, we'll get into the Clark Howard discussion at some point. Because, again, I think people like that have poisoned the relationship between consumer and, you know, the consumers and what I want to say, the you know, the businesses. I mean, that you know, they, if you think that the customer is always right, I'll show you plenty of bankrupt people that think the customer is always right. And that's a nice theory to have.
Right.
But they will take advantage of everything that you have to offer.
Yep.
And they'll bleed you dry. And again, it's not up to them. I mean, they don't care about all of that kind of stuff. They just want whatever they're, you know, trying to get. Their burger, or their this or that or whatever like that. So anyway, that's a whole separate discussion there. But
it is.
But again, even if you have attitude, body slamming the guy, punch, I mean, you know, just, oh boy. Okay. All right. So with that, tonight's top 10 list. Our top 10 favorite TV channels, currently, I guess, or all time, whatever you want to do with it. Favorite top 10 TV channels. Day, the floor is yours.
All right. I'll say all time for my list, because now it's all about apps, right? So not a whole lot of regular TV channel watching. But, of course, CNN is at the top of the list because of, you know, I always thought CNN was, you know, just the upper echelon of news networks. Mm-hmm. And then obviously going to school right down the street from it, it just, you know, that was just fascinating to me. TNT for the longest time was one of my favorite networks.
Right.
I mean, obviously, of course, back in the WCW days. Fox, the Fox Network, not the necessarily local Fox 5, but the Fox Network, has always been a longstanding. I mean, they've had great sitcoms over the years, from, you know, from when they started with The Simpsons to when they had In Living Color, and just all the various sitcoms they've had over the years. Of course, ESPN for my sports. ABC, I think ABC probably, Lifetime has probably been my favorite network. You know, again, a lot of great sitcoms on there growing up. NBC, I like them for sports. I feel like their sports programming is pretty good. USA for a long time was a favorite of mine, from the you know, WWE days to the
that's the whole reason I watch. I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless there's an occasional Marvel movie.
Right.
But the only reason I watch USA Network for my whole life has been the WWE.
Yeah.
They've been a part of, I mean, even back in the days before Raw.
Yeah.
You know, they were having, what was the Tuesday Night Titans. And, and they had Gorilla and Bobby Heenan with the, oh my gosh. What was the show called? Oh. See, this is what happens when my brain gets fried. But again, I mean, I was watching USA Network back then.
Yeah. And for me, one of the big things that they used to do, and TNT had it at a while too, but they both used to do the my show, Law and Order. The original, you know, original Law and Orders.
That's all they play on USA.
Yeah. So, and I don't watch
it
anymore.
It's like 63 hours a day.
Yeah, but I would literally watch just Law and Order all day. And then some of my cable favorites are HBO, HBO Max, Stars, and Showtime.
All right. My honorable mention is NFL Network.
Okay.
And I'm a big Falcons fan,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not as big of an NFL fan. Just, like, I don't care what the Green Bay Packers are doing.
Right.
I'm not interested in getting deep into what the Green Bay Packers do, but I do get into the Atlanta Falcons. So my list, TNT, obviously,
mm-hmm.
USA Network,
mm-hmm.
FX. I watch a lot of FX.
Oh, you know, I forgot about FX.
I watch
FX
a lot of
pretty
FX.
Good. Yeah, they got
because
some good shows.
Because, again, they have good shows, but they also, more than anything, I mean, I watch those for the movies, like, especially like the Marvel movies.
When
and
they show,
things like that.
Yeah. Yep.
SEC Network.
Okay.
Sci-Fi Channel.
I used to watch Sci-Fi Channel.
Paramount. By the way, WWE was on Sci-Fi Channel for a while.
It sure was.
When
they left USA, right?
Yes. Yep. And then they were also on Country News. News Network for CNN.
Yeah, SmackDown was on one and WWE was on the other.
The original
something
SmackDown
like that.
Was on UPN.
Right.
That's originally where SmackDown was. I'm still a big fan of PBS. And I love a lot of their doc. Like, I love the Ken Burns stuff and a lot of his documentaries and things like that.
Yep.
When they used to have Austin City Limits, that was one of my favorite shows. I mean, just some great concerts on there. ESPN, obviously, as well. AMC. I watch a lot of movies, but also that was The Walking Dead, which is really the only TV show that I've watched for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Right.
And then obviously Bally Sports, just because Braves Hawks, United. Yep. I mean, so just, you know, watching all of them. So look, there are friends and colleagues and people that we know and stuff like that that are on those broadcasts and stuff like that. So good to see all of them doing well, whether it doesn't matter if it's United, what have you, you know, Hawks, whatever like that. So, all right, hit us up with your list as well. When we come back, Kurt Heelan joined us earlier in the program, talking some NBA, talk some finals, talk some Hawks, a lot of things to get into with them. Good interview with Kurt as we kind of break a lot of things down. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuck Reshow live on this Friday evening. Is game one of the NBA Finals in the books? Pretty easy victory for Denver last night. Didn't seem like they were really threatened all that much. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk some NBA Finals and NBA overall with our buddy Kurt Heelan. He is the lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Basketball Talk, and he's joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
You know, my producer and I were talking about this last night, about the fact that Joker is so in control of a game. Like, when he goes stretches where he's not scoring, it's not because he doesn't want to score. It's because he's getting everybody else involved and doing some other things. It has been amazing in some of these playoff games that early on, he takes a role where he's setting other guys up, getting them into the flow of a game, and then all of a sudden he comes in and turns it on for his own offense.
Yeah, and I think that that's something the Heat wanted to avoid. They actually wanted to turn him into more of a scorer and didn't execute that very well. And I think you'll see it a little more in game two. They're not wrong either. I think if you can look, it's not easy to beat Denver. They're going to put up points. That is a very good offense. But if you can, let's say Jokic has 35 points but 6 assists, you have a chance. Like, the Heat have a chance. They need that kind of night. If it's what we saw last night, if it's, you know, 25 and 12, forget about it. There's everybody's involved, everything's going on, and at that point, the Heat just aren't going to be able to score enough in this series to keep up with them. So I think that that's weirdly kind of the plan, but that is who Jokic is. That's who he's been for a while. He is really one of the best game managers there is right now, and his ability to just always know where the open guy is amazing.
You know, and I asked, I had Eric Reed on, the longtime TV play-by-play guy for the Miami Heat on, and we were talking about the idea of, You know, is it a situation where do you just let Joker get all of his points but not let everybody else score? Because, look, if he's getting 25-30 and Murray's getting 30, the Heat have no chance. I mean, if it starts getting to be a point where everybody's involved offensively, Heat are going to get run out of the building in this series.
It is exactly that. It's also, and I mean, this isn't how many stars who can pass well has this been the book on? It was the book on Magic Johnson. Certainly was the book on Steve Nash for a long time, like make him a scorer, not a passer, and LeBron at points, although that was a little bit different. It's definitely the case with him. If the whole team gets it together, and you're right, Murray's going to get his, and that's part of the other problem with this. It's easy to say turn Jokic into a scorer. They're going to run that Jokic-Murray pick and roll, and they have the kind of chemistry in a pick and roll partners that you don't see much anymore because they've been together so long, doing it so long, and it's a little Stockton Malone-like, right? Like they've just been doing it together for so long that they have a real intuitive feel for both what's working and just reading the play and knowing what the other guy is going to do.
Kurt, if we say that Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA because of all of his long-term success and all the championships and things like that, where does Eric Spoelstra go? Where does he fit into the mix of everybody else in the coaching ranks of the NBA?
I think he's the best coach in the NBA right now. I think Popovich, I mean, it's not like Popovich forgot how to coach, but he's in a different place with that team right now, although it's going to be, I think he's excited. Funny thing is, he's really enjoyed the last few years. He is an old school coach who likes to coach. He likes to work on player development. And when you have a higher level NBA team, or even what Quinn Snyder is doing, you know, has right now in Atlanta, yeah, you're coaching and you're developing guys and you're setting up schemes, but so much of it is also ego management and keeping people happy and dealing with the personality issues around any team. You know, and Popovich was relatively lucky with that because Tim Duncan, but he still, at the end of the day, this is what he likes to do, and now he gets Wembanyama. That said, I think Spoelstra's a better coach, just in a better place right now. I think Spoelstra is at the absolute top of his game, the best strategic coach in the NBA, and also maybe the best at just getting everybody to pull the rope in the same direction.
Kurt Helin joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. All right, I'm fantasy booking now. I mean, I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan. I want desperately to find a way to try to get Jaylen Brown here in Atlanta. And, yes, yeah. I know all the financial ramifications, and I get all of it, and the trade package, and whether or not the Celtics want to move on. I'll ask you in two parts. A, do you think that the Celtics are not going to offer him a supermax type of deal? And B, do you think even realistically that the Celtics – If unless they get backed in a corner, they really want to trade Jaylen Brown?
No, I don't think they want to. I first off, I do think they're going to offer the supermax, that they're just going to put that on the table. And this is one of those situations where I'm not, you know, look, just talking to people around the league and connected and people around Boston. Not everybody sure he really wants to be in Boston long term, but if they offer him the supermax. And like I said, I fully expect them to. He's got to take that, man. That is generational wealth, right? Like, you can't say no to that. My guess is, especially with the looming new CBA that comes down really hard on super high spending teams, that it is something more akin to he takes it, and you and I will be having a discussion in a year or 2 years about Jaylen Brown wanting out of Boston now. But I think that's a patient organization. And I think they're going to try to run it back in the short term. The way you get him ultimately and get him to come home to Atlanta is that he forces it, that it's what he wants. If he doesn't sign that supermax this summer, if they offer it and he doesn't sign it, or if they kind of lowball him, then trade talks start. His comments publicly to me, the you know, I want to be where I'm wanted comments, I think that a lot of people read it as him wanting out. I read it as pay me. Well, I expect that. But if he's unhappy, you know, then he forces his way out. And he's got a lot of control because at the end of the day, wherever he goes, he's going to have to sign. So he has some leverage over where he goes.
Well, and Kurt, I mean, you know, look, it's the NBA. I mean, somebody's going to offer him a supermax deal, right? If it's not Boston, is somebody not going to offer him a supermax deal? I mean, is somebody not going to offer to pay him, you know, what he feels he's worth?
They can, but Boston can offer more under the,
right.
The rules are set up to try to make you help you retain your stars, right? So Boston can just offer more. It's 5 years. It's somewhere between $290 and $300 million, depending on exactly where the cap falls.
Right.
And nobody else can offer more than 4 years. And I'm going to forget what that exact number is off the top of my head. 235 or 240, whatever that number is.
Yeah, I think it's 290 versus 240. That's the difference. I mean, it's like a $50 million difference. But again, if he doesn't get it from Boston, he's going to get it somewhere.
The teams would line up to hand him that. You're talking about a 25-year-old all NBA player at a position of need. Every team in the league could use that guy, and if he became available, pretty much every team would be lining up to try to find a way to make it happen, right? Atlanta would be in that mix, and that's why I'm saying he would have a choice. All the teams that are star hunting right now, including the Knicks and everybody else, would come, and he would have some options about where he wants to be. I think that's the telling part. There are agents who have said that once you get into that range, and you're talking north of $240, $250 million, what's the difference, but sort of what's the difference? At that point, you're talking about so much money and so much generational wealth that is $50 million, this is a weird way to phrase this, but is that $50 million, is that worth not being happy? At that point, you're making so much money, would you rather go where you want to go? And for some players, that peace of mind of being in an organization they want to be with, or in a city they want to be at, or whatever is driving this, matters more than anything else.
So, Kurt, if, let's just for argument's sake, say a Jaylen Brown is off the table for the Atlanta Hawks, is there anybody else out there that you feel like that could be a good trade candidate? I mean, I've seen some strange names. Like, I've seen Kristaps Porzingis, and I'll be honest with you, I don't want anything to do with him. I mean, seven foot three guy who stands 30 feet out from the basket. I don't need that for the Hawks. But is there anybody that you are intrigued by as maybe a trade partner to bring into Atlanta?
Yeah. By the way, the Wizards are one to watch. The front office changes they made suggest that there could be major changes there, although that would have to really start with Bradley Beal. And by the way, if Bradley Beal becomes available, I'm not sure that's your guy, right? Like an older guy who's very expensive, who's and another guard. Like, and that's not really the need.
Right.
But there's other teams. What happens if things devolve in Philadelphia? I think you're going to see a lot. There's a theory going around. It's funny. I was just talking with a couple of guys last night about this here in Denver. There's a theory going around that because we're a year away from the new collective bargaining agreement's worst provisions or best, you know, most onerous, you know, parts kicking in, you're going to see heavy movement this year from teams that want to make additions or get out of this. And so you're going to see more trades this summer than we've seen in a while and more than we probably see in a year, just because teams are kind of like, hey, we can kind of make this move now. In a year, it's not something we want to do being over that second tax apron, that kind of lead apron they've got out there. So it's going to be interesting. And I think that's the beauty of the NBA too, John, is we can talk about, yeah, man, maybe it's Carl Anthony Towns, and they're changing things around in Minnesota because they want to build around Anthony Edwards, which, by the way, wouldn't be the stupidest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something else. But you never know. There's always going to be some name where we're like, really? That guy? It just always seems to happen.
Last question for you, Kurt. Is there a team that you think could be seller? You brought the point about getting out of, you know, getting out from underneath everything. Do you think that there's a team in mind? Are you eyeballing a particular team that you think that okay, this thing isn't working for whatever reason, and maybe it's time to try to start over?
Minnesota's one that I think is, like, I wasn't kidding. Carl Anthony Towns has won a lot of teams and have their eye on.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuck Reshow live on this Friday evening as game one of the NBA Finals in the books. Pretty easy victory for Denver last night. Didn't seem like they were really threatened all that much. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk some NBA Finals and NBA overall with our buddy Kurt Heelan. He is the lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Basketball Talk, and he's joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
You know, my producer and I were talking about this last night, about the fact that Joker is so in control of a game. Like, when he goes stretches where he's not scoring, it's not because he doesn't want to score. It's because he's getting everybody else involved and doing some other things. It has been amazing in some of these playoff games that early on, he takes a role where he's setting other guys up, getting them into the flow of a game, and then all of a sudden he comes in and turns it on for his own offense.
Yeah, and I think that that's something the Heat wanted to avoid. They actually wanted to turn him into more of a scorer and didn't execute that very well. And I think you'll see it a little more in game two. They're not wrong either. I think if you can look, it's not easy to beat Denver. They're going to put up points. That is a very good offense. But if you can, let's say Jokic has 35 points but 6 assists, you have a chance. Like, the Heat have a chance. They need that kind of night. If it's what we saw last night, if it's, you know, 25 and 12, forget about it. There's everybody's involved. Everything's going on. And at that point, the Heat just aren't going to be able to score enough in this series to keep up with them. So I think that that's weirdly kind of the plan, but that is who Jokic is. That's who he's been for a while. He is really one of the best game managers there is right now, and his ability to just always know where the open guy is amazing.
You know, and I asked, I had Eric Reed on, the longtime TV play-by-play guy for the Miami Heat on, and we were talking about the idea of, you know, is it a situation where do you just let Joker get all of his points, but not let everybody else score? Because, look, if he's getting 25-30 and Murray's getting 30, the Heat have no chance. I mean, if it starts getting to be a point where everybody's involved offensively, Heat are going to get run out of the building in this series.
It is exactly that. It's also, and I mean, this isn't how many stars who can pass well has this been the book on? It was the book on Magic Johnson. Certainly was the book on Steve Nash for a long time, like make him a scorer, not a passer, and LeBron at points, although that was a little bit different. It's definitely the case with him. If the whole team gets it together, and you're right, Murray's going to get his, and that's part of the other problem with this. It's easy to say turn Jokic into a scorer. They're going to run that Jokic-Murray pick and roll, and they have the kind of chemistry in a pick and roll partners that you don't see much anymore because they've been together so long, doing it so long, and it's a little Stockton Malone-like, right? Like they've just been doing it together for so long that they have a real intuitive feel for both what's working and just reading the play and knowing what the other guy is going to do.
Kurt, if we say that Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA because of all of his long-term success and all the championships and things like that, where does Eric Spoelstra go? Where does he fit into the mix of everybody else in the coaching ranks of the NBA?
I think he's the best coach in the NBA right now. I think Popovich, I mean, it's not like Popovich forgot how to coach, but he's in a different place with that team right now, although it's going to be, I think he's excited. Funny thing is, he's really enjoyed the last few years. He is an old school coach who likes to coach. He likes to work on player development. And when you have a higher level NBA team, or even what Quinn Snyder is doing, you know, has right now in Atlanta, yeah, you're coaching and you're developing guys and you're setting up schemes, but so much of it is also ego management and keeping people happy and dealing with the personality issues around any team. You know, and Popovich was relatively lucky with that because Tim Duncan, but he still, at the end of the day, this is what he likes to do, and now he gets Wembanyama. That said, I think Spoelstra's a better coach, just in a better place right now. I think Spoelstra is at the absolute top of his game, the best strategic coach in the NBA, and also maybe the best at just getting everybody to pull the rope in the same direction.
Kurt Helin joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. All right, I'm fantasy booking now. I mean, I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan. I want desperately to find a way to try to get Jaylen Brown here in Atlanta. And yes, yeah, I know all the financial ramifications, and I get all of it, and the trade package, and whether or not the Celtics want to move on. I'll ask you in two parts. A, do you think that the Celtics are not going to offer him a supermax type of deal? And B, do you think even realistically that the Celtics, if unless they get backed in a corner, they really want to trade Jaylen Brown?
No, I don't think they want to. I do think they're going to offer the supermax, that they're just going to put that on the table. And this is one of those situations where I'm not, you know, look, just talking to people around the league and connected and people around Boston, not everybody's sure he really wants to be in Boston long term. But if they offer him the supermax, and like I said, I fully expect them to, he's got to take that, man. That is generational wealth, right? Like, you can't say no to that. My guess is, especially with the looming new CBA that comes down really hard on super high spending teams, that it is something more akin to he takes it, and you and I will be having a discussion in a year or 2 years about Jaylen Brown wanting out of Boston now. But I think that's a patient organization, and I think they're going to try to run it back in the short term. The way you get him ultimately and get him to come home to Atlanta is that he forces it, that it's what he wants. If he doesn't sign that supermax this summer, if they offer it and he doesn't sign it, or if they kind of lowball him, then trade talks start. His comments publicly to me, the you know, I want to be where I'm wanted comments, I think that a lot of people read it as him wanting out. I read it as pay me. I expect that. But if he's unhappy, you know, then he forces his way out, and he's got a lot of control because at the end of the day, so wherever he goes, he's going to have to sign. So he has some leverage over where he goes.
Well, and Kurt, I mean, you know, look, it's the NBA. I mean, somebody's going to offer him a supermax deal, right? If it's if it's not Boston, is somebody not going to offer him a supermax deal? I mean, is somebody not going to offer to pay him, you know, what he feels he's worth?
They can, but Boston can offer more under the,
right.
the rules are set up to try to make you help you retain your stars, right? So Boston can just offer more. It's 5 years. It's somewhere between $290 and $300 million, depending on exactly where the cap falls.
Right.
And nobody else can offer more than 4 years. And I'm going to forget what that exact number is off the top of my head. 235 or 240, whatever that number
is.
Yeah,
I think it's I think it's 290 versus 240. That's the I mean, it's like a $50 million difference. But again, if he doesn't get it from Boston, he's going to get it somewhere.
Yeah,
as far as the
teams would line up to hand him that. You're talking about a 25-year-old all NBA player at a position of need. Every team in the league could use that guy. And if he became available, pretty much every team would be lining up to try to find a way to make it happen, right? Atlanta would be in that mix, and that's why I'm saying he would have a choice. All the teams that are star hunting right now, including the Knicks and everybody else, would come, and he would have some options about where he wants to be. And I think that's the telling part. There are agents who I've talked to who have said that once you get into that range, and you're talking north of $240, $250 million, what's the difference, but sort of what's the difference? At that point, you're talking about so much money and so much generational wealth that is $50 million, this is a weird way to phrase this, but is that $50 million, is that worth not being happy? At that point, you're making so much money, would you rather go where you want to go? And for some players, that peace of mind of being in an organization they want to be with or in a city they want to be at or whatever is driving this matters more than anything else.
So, Kurt, if let's just for argument's sake say a Jaylen Brown is off the table for the Atlanta Hawks, is there anybody else out there that you feel like that could be a good trade candidate? I mean, I've seen some strange names. Like, I've seen Kristaps Porzingis, and I'll be honest with you,
no.
I don't want anything to do with him. I mean, seven foot three guy who stands 30 feet out from the basket. I don't need that for the Hawks. But is there anybody that you are intrigued by as maybe a trade partner to bring into Atlanta?
Yeah, by the way, the Wizards are one to watch. The front office changes they made suggest that there could be major changes there, although that would have to really start with Bradley Beal. And by the way, if Bradley Beal becomes available, I'm not sure that's your guy, right? Like an older guy who's very expensive, and another guard. Like, and that's not really the need.
Right.
But there's other teams. What happens if things devolve in Philadelphia? I think you're going to see a lot. There's a theory going around. It's funny. I was just talking with a couple of guys last night about this. Here in Denver, there's a theory going around that because we're a year away from the new collective bargaining agreement's worst provisions or best, most onerous, parts kicking in, you're going to see heavy movement this year from teams that want to make additions or get out of this. And so you're going to see more trades this summer than we've seen in a while and more than we've probably seen in a year, just because teams are kind of like, hey, we can kind of make this move now. In a year, it's not something we want to do being over that second tax apron, that kind of lead apron they've got out there. So it's going to be interesting. And I think that's the beauty of the NBA too, John, is we can talk about, maybe it's Carl Anthony Towns, and they're changing things around in Minnesota because they want to build around Anthony Edwards, which, by the way, wouldn't be the stupidest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something else. But you never know. There's always going to be some name where we're like, really? That guy? It just always seems to happen.
Last question for you, Kurt. Is there a team that you think could be seller? You brought the point about getting out of, getting out from underneath everything. Do you think that there's a team in mind? Are you eyeballing a particular team that you think that, okay, this thing isn't working for whatever reason and maybe it's time to try to start over?
Minnesota's one that I think is, like, I wasn't kidding. Carl Anthony Towns has won a lot of teams and have their eye on. They're kind of stuck with Rudy Gobert. That is an untradeable. I don't want to say untradeable, but
yeah, pretty close.
pretty close. What you'd have to attach to get rid of it. But that team, since just you and me talking, they should be building around Anthony Edwards.
Sure,
Anthony Edwards is the future there, right? Like, I'm not sure that Karl Anthony Towns fits with Edwards perfectly. They're not quite on the same timeline. That's one a lot of teams are watching. Like I said, there's a lot of eyes on Philadelphia. I mentioned them. Depending on what James Harden does and kind of how the summer goes, I don't think they're there yet, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. How unhappy Joel Embiid is suddenly changes everything, because then is Tyrese Maxey in play or some other guys that you might be interested in? Maxey's a guard, so it's not necessarily where Atlanta would want to go, but there are big men and forwards who could become available. And like I said, there's always one. There's always one that catches even us off guard where we're like, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, always a very interesting offseason. I'll hand that to the NBA. It's always a very intriguing offseason. Check him out on his personal Twitter page, @BasketballTalk. He's the lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBCSports.com. And Kurt Heelan joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me on.
And listen, we'll chat again here soon.
I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to Miami. I'm going to try to find some places to go out at night and see. I don't know if there are any. You know, I get in at 10. The city's pretty much closed by then, right?
Yeah, and, you know, there's no beaches. There's no pretty girls. I mean, so, listen, I mean, you'll have nothing to do in Miami.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to be in my room working.
I was going to say read a book. I mean, you know, that's about what it is. So, Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man.
Take care, man.
You got it. John Chuckery. We'll be back. Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.